Turn with me to the first book of Kings in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 3 down to verse 14. That's the first book of Kings chapter 3, reading from verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and he burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Now at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness and uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Now the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honour, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." The verses I would like us to think on this morning and then again this evening are the ones that you'll find in Matthew 7 or Luke 11. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Ask, and it will be given you. I've no doubt if I was to ask most of you, or some of you, what sort of things have you been asking for over these past weeks? I'm sure we've all got a list of things that we would like to have. Things that we perhaps would feel that would help and encourage us or improve our quality of life as we've got it just now. But I wonder how many of these requests that you have been seeking for things have actually had a positive response. And of course, the answer to that would not surely be that it really depends on who it is you ask. Now, if you come and ask me for £1 million, there's no chance. You might ask somebody else. I don't know. There might be somebody in the fellowship who could give you a positive response to that sort of request. But there are certain things, if you ask people for, they might be in a position to answer you positively. But others would say, "No, I'm the last person that you should come and ask that of." You see, we have this urge, do we not, to ask. And we do often ask, don't we, because there is something we need or something that we want. And that's the difference. It's the need that needs to be greater than the wants. especially as we go through life, there is that difference. Things that we need, not always the things that we want. There are many, many things in life that we say, oh, I want to have one of these. I would like to have that. But it's not part of the things that we need. So here we are, we're looking at these verses today. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. It does go to show, does it not, that if we really want to ask for something, we really need to know who it is that we should ask. And we only have to look around the world and we see the needs of the world, the needs of our nation, the needs of many, many things that we see in our media across the world. And we say, well, there are many needs there, but they're obviously not asking the right people in the right way because they don't get it. And one of the great needs of the world would be hunger. And we would say, why are there so many people still flashed across our screens to say there is famine, there is hunger, when we know quite well that there is enough food grown across the world to feed everyone on this world. There is a need, but you see, not everyone wants to help to meet that need. There is a lack of response. So it really depends on who you ask. I'm sure some of you who are still working would probably want to have a rise. Would you chance going up to your boss and say, look, I need a rise. I wonder if you would get it. Or we might go to the local authority and say, I don't like what you're charging me in my council tax. I would like a reduction, please. 10%. I'll settle for nothing less. But then you see, it all depends on who you ask. And of course, most of these things that we're talking about, they are going to be responded from the human point of view. And nobody's going to cut our taxes, are they? Because we need them to do other things. But here we are given that chance that we can ask as Christians. We can ask God in prayer. We have access to the throne of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to remember that it's asking for the things that we need, not for the things that we want. And 1 John 5 tells us that, does he not? Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked in him. That's a wonderful verse. The Bible, we're going to see, is telling us that we should come. And we have every opportunity to ask of God. But what we have to remember, and we were sharing with the young folk earlier a few moments ago, that the Bible tells us that God says that even before we were in our mother's womb, he knows us, he knew us. And God tells us he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. So what we have to discipline ourselves is this, that we come to God in prayer. When we ask God to help us and guide us, we must do so realizing that God is going to answer according to his will and purpose for what is right for that plan and purpose of our lives. And that's the bit that sometimes we find hard. Yes, we might know what it is we're asking. And yes, that verse we've just read does give us assurance that we're going to be heard. Tells us too that we're not going to be reproached for asking. And we know it gives us a promise that God will answer as well. But God might answer by saying yes and give us an answer right away. He might well say no. I'm not going to give you a positive answer for that. God might tell us that we have to wait. And if you're like me, you often find that as time goes on and you keep praying about it, you suddenly realize that God's way was much better than what I wanted. Because I would say, Lord, if only you would do this, But God deals with it and he gives us that blessing in a much, much better way. But the Bible also tells us that when we come and ask, we have to come and ask in faith. We have to believe, as we've said, that the person we're asking is able to give us the answer. And we need to have that confidence that we ask because we believe that we are going to receive. And the Bible tells us, does James not say, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from God. And what does Jesus himself say? Jesus tells us when we ask, he says, if you have faith. Now what sort of faith does the Bible tell us that we have to have before we can ask of God? Well, Jesus himself says in Matthew and Luke, doesn't he say, Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Wow. That's all the faith we need when we come to God in prayer, seeking his hand upon us. And all things, whatever you ask in faith in your prayers, believing, you will receive. I love when I pick up in magazines illustrations that you can use later on. And one pastor had a situation where he was dealing with a member of the fellowship there. And he was going through a very, very difficult time. And the pastor was trying to give him serious encouragement. And each time they met, he would pick out a verse of scripture. And one day he had chosen that very verse where Jesus said that of your faith, the size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. And it really touched this man's heart. And he thought, is that all the faith I need to believe that God is going to help me and guide me? And he went out and he sought mustard seeds. But he found, like you will find, that mustard seeds are very small. And wherever he put it in his pocket, wherever he had it, he couldn't find it, he lost it. And there was a place where, you know these keyrings, you buy keyrings and they've got all sorts of little things in a plastic container. And he went in and he asked them, can you put a mustard seed into one of these little plastic encapsulations? And they did it for him. And he went around with this mustard seed. And people asked him, what is it? And he would tell them, this is all the faith I need to keep trusting in God. And as time went on, people asked him where he got it. So he went and he got some more made. And by that encouragement, as time went on, God gave him the faith and time and God's grace and blessing built him up again. He was restored and he overcame the difficulties and the problem. The Bible tells us all we need is a faith the size of a mustard seed, and God will give us grace and mercy and he will hear and answer our prayer. But the Bible also tells us that we can often ask wrongly. How do we know that we're asking for the right things? In other words, how can we be sure that when we're seeking God's guidance and help in certain circumstances or difficulties or whatever it might be, how do we know that we're asking for it according to God's will and purpose for our lives? Perhaps we say to ourselves, whatever, what is God trying to teach me from this? Is God teaching me a lesson from this? Is it the situation I've got to face? Is it me? Is it my faith? That is a challenge. How do we know that we're asking God in the right way for the right things? And James tells us something about that as well, doesn't he? He often says to us, you ask and you do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss. You're asking for the things of pleasure, the things of this life. And one example of that, wasn't it, was the prodigal son. He came and he said, I want my inheritance now, Dad. And if you think of what happened there, he thought that if he had his inheritance now, it was going to change and transform his life. He thought his life was going to be lifted up. Life would take off. No longer stuck at the farm, as it were. I'm going to go out there and enjoy life. This will really change my life. It's going to give me freedom. It's going to help me. It's going to give me lots of friends. Oh, he said, if only I could have that, how my life would be changed. Well, we know the story. If it was to teach him about responsibility and money, then it was too late because it just didn't work. So how do we know that we ask for the right things? Things that we love last for a day, but in the morning fade away. But the word of the Lord endures forevermore. How often did we sing that lovely chorus when we were younger? Sad to say, we often don't sing these words, and yet they have wonderful meaning to remind us, don't they? But the Bible then goes on to tell us that we should ask wisely. We should ask wisely. That we need to take time and thought about how we approach God with our situation. James tells us, and he gives us encouragement, because the Bible doesn't leave us suspended there saying, well, if I don't know whether I'm asking God the right things, where does that leave me? Well, the Bible tells you. Because James comes up with the answer again, doesn't he? He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Wow. God gives us the answer for everything, doesn't he? We read about Solomon. Solomon, we discovered, didn't ask God for power or might. I wonder if God came to you and I, and he said to us, ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. I wonder if we would have been as wise as Solomon. I wonder what we would ask. If I'd given out a piece of paper and said, write down what you would ask God, I'm sure it would be interesting to what we would ask. He didn't even go and ask God to cut down his enemies, and he was facing a lot of enemies at that time. And he didn't go to God and say, I need some money. If only I had wealth, everything would be so different. Everything would be great. And he didn't ask for any of the many, many things that you and I as humans, he would have asked God, and God would possibly have given him it. He simply asked God for wisdom, to know what it is that he should ask for. But that shouldn't put us off, because we're also given commands in the Bible to ask. We've just read one. Ask, and it will be given you. But we're beginning to see how we should ask and what process we should go through as we ask to God. What right do we have to be able to ask God for anything? And we have to consider that when we ask anyone for anything, whether it's our family or friends, we have to realize that. And of course, Jesus said that in that day, you will ask me nothing, but assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father for in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And then he goes on in John 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And of course, we think of that other little chorus we used to sing. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Yes, that is the challenge there. Do we know our God? Do we know the Lord Jesus in such a close and personal way that we have that faith and that trust in him? That when we come to him and we commit ourselves to him, ask and it shall be given you. Yes, as human beings and all the needs and the problems that we face in life, oh yes, we know who to go and ask. If something goes wrong somewhere, I know exactly who to ask, either for help and guidance. But do we know our God in the same way, that we really trust him and we commit ourselves to him. So why should we ask God in Jesus' name? And that's what Ephesians chapter 3 tells us, doesn't it? Because that's the first thing that becomes important. In Ephesians chapter 3, we find from verse 14 to 20. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That is the first challenge that we have, that we would trust and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And it's when we have that trust and that faith in him, then we know that we are on the right way. And the scriptures remind us, it is all of him and all through him that we do it. And when we go on to verse 20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And Philippians 4 tells us the answer to that. And our God shall supply all your needs. Two words there, all, not just some. And that word, need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells us too, that when we have that trust and that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's when we should be able to stop worrying, to stop fretting. It's like when we have a good relation with someone and we know that they are the people who can help us. The sudden worry and the care goes, doesn't it? Because we know we're going to get help. And Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 give us wonderful illustration of that. In everything through prayer. That's how we ask God in Jesus' name, through prayer. But not just prayer. Prayer with supplication, with thanksgiving. How often do we forget to go back and say thank you to God when he does answer our prayers? With thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. And then, when we do it like that, we have that wonderful assurance that the peace of God that passes all understanding will then keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Asking in faith gets answers. And there are wonderful illustrations. I love to read in the Bible and books where you find that people tell you how God has taken their situation and God has blessed them. The hardest thing I find about that is you can sit down and read in 10 or 20 minutes how God can take someone who clings to him and takes them from that situation to the time when God answers the prayer and blesses them. And we read that in 10 or 20 minutes, where in their life it may have taken them a year, 2 years, or 10 years. And we have to wait patiently, don't we, until God deals with our lives and takes us through. And what about Jeremiah? I love this verse when I first came across it. These verses stick in your mind. When there we find it, asking in faith. And there was Jeremiah in prison. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, when he says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and wonderful things that you never knew. Yes, and there are many practical ways that the Bible teaches us and gives us that assurance of doing it. Pastor was going through the Lord's Prayer, and it gives us an order of praising God, thanking him, seeking for our daily needs and all the other things, but all to do with God's glory, God's kingdom, and his ways. You see, just to sum up, Solomon asked God for wisdom. He asked that God would help him and guide him so that when he asked, he would ask for the right things. For what would be God-honoring and what would be God's will and purpose for his life. So we ask in this way. We ask and we know it will be given. But you know, when you take that passage there that we're working on today, ask, it really says and gives you the feeling that it's saying, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. So you don't just ask for it. But you know what children are like? When they want something, they'll keep at it until they get it, don't they? And parents usually give in. And even Jesus gives that illustration, doesn't he? Or the man who came knocking on his friend's door at midnight, and he might not get it because he was his friend, but he got it because he was persistent, and he kept knocking. And so to get peace, he gave him it. But Jesus doesn't work that way. Our God doesn't work that way. Ask that he might give us, and then he would show us how much he loves us and guides us. Amen.